Friends in Christ, the other day a parishioner asked me if on St. Patrick's Day they could call me Father Oskluzacek. I said, if that makes it easier for you to pronounce, I have no objection. In our Skluzacek home, growing up, St. Patrick's Day was just like any other day. In my hometown of Lonsdale, nobody wore green on St. Patrick's Day. There were no special celebrations. But certainly, as we know, for many people, some of you I see wearing green, Irish and non-Irish, St. Patrick's Day is a day to celebrate. But we might ask, as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, on the second Sunday of Lent, we might ask, just what do they celebrate? Did you know that the largest number of people who claim St. Patrick for their patron are Nigerians, Africans? Why? The people of that African nation were converted by Irish missionaries in the early 20th century. And in 1961, St. Patrick was named the patron saint of Nigeria. That conversion in Nigeria is still going on at rapid rates. The number of baptized Catholics in Nigeria has soared from 19 million in 2005 to 53 million today. Some of those Nigerians, as we know, have emigrated to the United States. Some of them are our parishioners now. In Nigeria today, there are 2,000 priests, nearly 4,000 religious. Vocations to the priesthood and religious life are booming. St. Patrick, of course, is also the patron saint of Ireland. One commentator that I recently read has called Ireland today the most anti-Catholic country on earth. That may be an exaggeration, but it suggests an undeniable phenomenon that has happened in Ireland and in many traditionally Catholic countries of our world, a massive loss of faith. When Pope St. John Paul visited Ireland in 1979, he preached to almost 1.5 million people. When Pope Francis had Mass in Ireland at that same site last year, fewer than 130,000 showed up. A few months later, Irish people danced in the streets when abortion was legalized. The prime minister of that formerly Catholic country lives in open defiance of the sacrament of Christian marriage. The chief seminary in Ireland today, which used to be full, today has the lowest number of seminarians studying for the priesthood since its foundation. The former rector of that seminary has abandoned the Catholic faith. I just returned Friday, along with many of our parishioners, from Mexico, which is a traditionally Catholic country and still is today. But that's not always been the case. As we learned, as we visited various sites, in our pilgrimage, we saw how the people of Mexico converted from a diabolical pagan religion to Catholicism. And they converted in massive numbers after the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe in 1531. And we saw how that faith was fortified by the apparitions of St. Michael the Archangel About a century later, our pilgrims brought home some of the miraculous water at the well of St. Michael. Miraculous not just to heal sick bodies, but to heal sick souls who have abandoned the faith. But even today, even though Mexico's people are very Catholic, Mexico's government is officially anti-Catholic. It's still a law on the books that priests are not allowed to wear their clerical garb in public. It's not enforced, and I proudly wore mine. Didn't have any problems. But there are two people who are very much responsible for the faith of the Mexican people. And those two people are St. Michael, the Archangel, and of course, our Blessed Mother Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So what is the difference between Ireland and Mexico, between Ireland and present-day Nigeria? It's in an understanding of citizenship. Citizenship. Where is your citizenship? Is it Ireland? Is it Mexico? The United States of America? Nigeria? Or is it heaven? St. Paul today, in that passage we heard from his epistle to the Philippians, reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. Our Lady of Guadalupe, through her apparitions to St. Juan Diego, showed the people of Mexico that they did not have to adhere to the pagan religion of the people of those times. They did not have to live in fear of suffering, of pain, and even terrible, violent death as human beings were sacrificed to the pagan gods. No, Our Lady of Guadalupe told them that she was their mother, a loving mother who loved them and would take care of them and would lead them to a God who loves them and wants them to have the fullness of life. We heard St. Paul today write that many conduct themselves as enemies of the cross. And he, of course, was talking about the pagans in his day, but that can be applied to the non-believers of our day. St. Paul says their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, their minds are occupied with earthly things. But he goes on to say, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we await a Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, you and I need to remember that. Whether we are Irish or American or Nigerian or Mexican, whatever our earthly nationality, we need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven. And that's what Jesus reminds Peter, James, and John today in the gospel as he takes them up Mount Tabor. And he shows them their true citizenship. He gives them a glimpse of heaven. He says, this is where you belong, my sons. This is where you are heading. We need to have that glimpse of heaven ourselves. We need to remember who we are. Our main identity is not Irish, American, Mexican, Nigerian, whatever. We can be proud of those things, certainly. But we are Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, and our citizenship is in heaven. Let's celebrate that. And Lent is a time to remember who we are and to reclaim our citizenship. That's what Lent is all about. We prepare to renew our citizenship on Easter. That's what we do when we renew our baptismal promises. And that's what our Lenten penances are meant to do. They're meant to reorient ourselves to our baptismal inheritance. St. John Paul loved so much Our Lady of Guadalupe, he visited that shrine 6 times during his pontificate. and he proclaimed Our Lady of Guadalupe as the star of the new evangelization. Why? Because he saw how the faith was being attacked in America. And by America, he meant all of North America and South America. He knew that our Blessed Mother Mary was God's powerful instrument who would bring his people back. So today on the second Sunday of Lent, let's renew our Lenten commitments of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, not just for ourselves, but for all those people who have abandoned their Catholic faith. And let's ask our Blessed Mother Mary to lead them back to Jesus Christ and help them to remember their eternal citizenship is in heaven.